Nathaniel X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q.
Ding, fries again. I gotta run. Don't touch the fries in hot fat. It really hurts bad. And so do skin grafts. Would you like a nap a pie with dad? Wait for the bell. Can't hear the bell. Where is the bell? Wait for the bell. Ding, fries again. Ding, fries again.
I gotta run. Don't touch the fries in hot fat. It really hurts bad. And so do skin grafts. Would you like a nap a pie with dad? Wait for the bell. place to go.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Man,
don't show the sizes of the
stars.
And I brought me some tea out of it. Like
sauce.
To let it go.
No, no, no.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
When we finally kiss,
good night.
How I hate being
going out of
the storm.
But if you...
Really?
Shut up, Wesley!
All the way home, happy
again. All of us is slowly dying.
My dear.
We are still respond,
but as long as you love me, so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Don't touch the frozen hot bed. It really hurts bad. And don't do skin grafts. Would you like an apple pie with dad? Would you like an apple pie with dad? Wait for the bell. Can't hear the bell. Where is the bell? Wait for the bell. King fries are done. King fries are done.
When we finally kiss.
Good night.
How I hate
going out of the storm. But if you...
Really?
Shut up, Wesley!
All the way home, happy.
Warm. All of us is slowly dying. And my dear...
We are still respond,
but as long as you love me, so...
Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
Testing 1, 2, 3, testing 1, 2, 3, battery test, testing 1, 2, 3, battery test. It's Saturday, June 3rd, 2000. About 11:50 p.m. I'm at the Malden Center T station, heading home. I think of the following as a blunt confession. I've been watching women all day long in the clothes that women wear when it gets warm out. The tight pants, the sleeveless t-shirts, long hair, breasts, faces, and I've neither mentally, legally, nor philosophically, nor mathematically confine myself to the 18 years and older puritanical inhumane limitation of this currently fuck society. Because I think if a girl's in bloom, she's in bloom. I don't ask for ID, especially when I'm just looking. Anyway, I can't help but look, and yet I shouldn't look, because the pain of the pain of having no girl for me for so long is excruciating. And not knowing why, not really knowing why, but it just goes on and on, and it hurts. It won't stop hurting. It hurts so much that sometimes I can't even function. Sometimes it's just too much. It's ridiculous. And it's hobbling. I don't think I make better art because of my lack of women in my life. I really don't think so. I don't think so at all, frankly. Maybe at moments, at points, that's been true, but it's not true anymore. On a day like today, a night like tonight, tend to experience massive highs and lows. There are moments tonight when I was back at Harvard Square, Au Bon Pan Cafe, courtyard, my table. There were moments when I was ecstatic, when I was just feeling something in everything that was happening around me that was wonderful, and I was feeling a part of it. But that feeling, that connection, sooner or later dissipates, and I feel bereft. How did I get to this point? Where have all the fucking years gone? Where have been all the women? How have I ended up alone? How do I stop this? Neo, Barbara? Was I wrong about them? I mean, it's the only question I can ask. And there isn't anything but an obvious answer. I wasn't wrong. I was right. But what do I do now? I don't know. I don't know what I do now. I wrote a lot today. I needed to write 20 pages to get June thus far up to 10 pages a day. I don't think I wrote 20. But I think I wrote 10. And so that's not bad. Last night and today, till early this afternoon, I was at Joe Chacon's place, working with him and Barbara Brannon by phone on the third book in the Ray book series, North of Jersey, poems by Joe Chacon. It's all right. It's good. It's past a major hurdle. Barbara's doing work on it. Finally. Happily. So, that's good. More work to be done, for sure. Copy editing, proofreading, Joe's writing more for it. Barbara has to do design, typography, cover. It's a lot of work. On Canal Street and going by Anthony's restaurant. Looks like a lot of people in front of it. And I hear yelling. That evil fucking Boston accent. It only gets worse north of Boston. See people holding trophies. I live a pretty isolated life right now, pretty solitary. It's punctuated by get-togethers with people, but I don't know. I'm dubious. This sentence is breaking up. Truck that's for sale. I mentioned it to Joe, who's talking about taking a trip next summer across country to make some kind of on-the-road movie of some kind. He doesn't have a very clear idea of what he wants to do, and he doesn't want to learn how to make films. So, it's strange, but he seems worked up about it. I've said I'll be involved in one way or another, I hope. But it doesn't mean anything. I mean, but it's better than not showing enthusiasm. Right now, among anything else, it's important that I talk him through the making of his book. It's getting close, but Barbara's time is running out. With luck, she received what we sent to her at about 1 today by email, and she was able to take the 23 ordered poems and stick them in a Quirk document. So, and then she's gonna, I don't know, do stuff with them and then turn them around and send them back to me and Joe as page proofs. That we're gonna fuss with. I'm gonna proofread. Copy edit. Joe's gonna make changes and write up a prologue that's gonna weave through the text. I mean, the good thing is we've got 23 poems, and if all else fails, 23 poems it'll be. I'm now approaching the 60s Rock, which is across the street from the Rum Tech building, who's outer walls and inner contents have been gutted, all its standard beams and lights. The steps I would sit on a night like this, at this time of night, remain with the behind the fence, or I can't get at them, which sucks. Jim told me he doesn't think they're knocking the building down because there's all these lights hanging from all over the... There's two floors, so from the ceiling of each floor, there's lights scattered all around, hanging from the roof. And he says that is... if the lights are on, it indicates that the electrical outlets and whatever wiring is working fine. And so that's in part a way that they keep track that the electrical system is working okay, and that's good. It indicates that they're going to do something with the building rather than just knock it down. They wouldn't have the electrical lights even working anymore, I guess is what he's saying, if they were just planning to knock it down, because they'd be knocking down the electrical wires too. So that's good, I guess. And they've retained the stairs, which is good. I don't know how long it's going to take for them to put up the new building so I can get back to my fucking stairs. I miss them a lot. I'd like at least to sit on them. I don't give a fuck if there's a building behind them or a shell of a building. I really don't know. Anyway, the funny thing is that the last remaining indication that this was once the building housing room technology is this glass sign that says ROHM with a umlaut or whatever over the O, and that's from across the street looking toward the building. That's to the far left, the area of the front wall that it hangs on, and that area has not yet been knocked down, but I think it's going to be. I think that little remaining bit of the building that's not been exposed will be exposed. So, soon it'll all be exposed. Standing here stupid. But I don't know what else to say. I miss it. walk on. So Joe's book's coming along. Friday evening, I gave him Cenacles, four of them, the last four that I owed him. I mailed the same four to Barbara, and I mailed the new one, C. Cenacle 41, 5th anniversary issue, April 2000, to to Jim, and to Mark, and to Jerry. And I mailed it by priority mail, which is 2 to 3 days, so they'll all have them in hand by, I'd guess, Tuesday. Possibly Monday, no later than Wednesday. It's a kind of a neat thought that they're going to be receiving these packages with the latest Cenacle. I don't know, you know, something neat about that. And Barbara will be getting a box of Cenacles. And when I've talked to her today about Joe's book, I did not make mention of this. I'd mentioned that I was getting it already, but she doesn't know that the box has gone out to her. So one fine day she'll come home to that home of hers that she shares with her lover Kay. And there'll be a big U.S. Postal Service box there from me. And she'll open it up in the middle of this packing material. And then there'll be four Cenacles down deep. And that's really neat. Really neat. She doesn't know anything about the contents of the new one. She doesn't know the Bag's End stories are in it on the special ivory paper. And she doesn't know that Notes from New England is culled from my love letters to Rebecca. Funny. You know, the Bag's End story is rooted in my family, rooted in years ago. These particular stories written 8 years ago. And the letters to Rebecca, the poems, too, from these past few months. But no girl I may never meet. Funny in a strange sort of way. And in between the two, in terms of chronology, the America's story sickness, which was written in 97. Written just as I started Emerson. I'm now in the Bell Rock Cemetery, and it's alright. It's okay. I've made it. I've been home since yesterday morning, so there's always a good feeling to get this far. It means I'm probably gonna make it the rest of the way. I know I'm safe here. I know I'm safe here. I know I'm safe here. As anywhere else. I mean, I'm safer than anywhere else, safe as I can be. There's no real safety, but there's definitely safer. And I feel safer here than most places. I'm not knowing what's going to happen with Chicago. The days till it have dropped down to, next Saturday night I will be there. And I don't know where I'm going to be staying or who I'm going to be seeing. I'm kind of open.
36 X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q. 36
On Spirit, long radio,
testing 1 2 3, testing 1 2 3, testing 1 2 3, testing 1 2 3, battery check, testing 1 2 3, battery check. It's Sunday, June 4th, 2000, about 3:50 p.m. This is volume 26 of my voice journal. Just left my house. I'm on my way to do my radio show at Alston Brighton Free Radio, located in the Alston Mall in Alston, Mass. Within scenes from the psychedelic revolution. It's my 48th episode since beginning the program on January 3rd, 1999 on Radio Free Cambridge. I'm going to check the recording quality of this right now. It's fine. I'm not passing through Bell Rock Cemetery. So, I did 44 shows on our Radio Free Cambridge before that station was shut down by the FCC back in February. And I started up again on April 2nd, 2000. On Alston Brighton Free Radio, which is 1580 and 1630 AM. I did 3 shows in April, none in May, in part, though not completely, but in part because there was a 2 week, so a 2 or 3 week shutdown of the station while it settled itself out from its beginning. Things apparently have gotten out of hand, and I was caught up in that shit getting out of hand because there was one Sunday where it was April 30th, as a matter of fact. I would have done 4 shows out of the 5 weekends in April, but I showed up on the 30th, and the door was locked. Door to the station. And it didn't become unlocked until 6:45, which is 15 minutes before my 2-hour show ends. That disheartened me a lot. I was disheartened also by the limited range of the station. I was disheartened by the turntables not working properly. And I think I was also disheartened by just not being on Radio Free Cambridge on Sundays from noon to 2, which I miss. But after a month away from Austin Bright and Free Radio, except for one evening when I showed up and met with Steve Provisor, the founder and head of the thing, I recorded a promo for my show, which was kind of neat to do. But aside from that one visit and a few emails here and there, I wasn't involved. I was involved very little with ABFR in May. Hoping, I think, that Radio Free Cambridge would just start up again, as it seemed to be close to at one point. But it hasn't. And here it is, June. So, I'm going to be with Austin Brighton for a while. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that until Radio Free Cambridge comes back. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. The good news about Austin Brighton Free Radio is that Provisor's expanded the space. There's a station meeting this Wednesday night. The station's on the verge of webcasting. So, this dude is really, he's doing all he can to make his station succeed. And, he's a nice guy. He's intelligent. He's thoughtful. He knows what I do on my show. And he doesn't hassle me, doesn't judge me, doesn't put me down in any way about it. And that's good. That's good. That's what I like. No censorship, no judgment. So I started making up a playlist for my shows. I've only done 3, so it's a good time to make one, and they want them, so that's fine by me. I'm not going to do anything too different today. I'm going to play Neil Young's new record, Silver and Gold, which is what I intended to play April 30th. I even bought it that day to make sure I had it. And so, in a way, I'm picking up from the frustration of that situation. That's now 5 weeks ago. I'm trying to get back on the right foot. And I'm going to play some tapes. They have a new board. That's the other thing I learned at that time when I met with Steve. And it looks like a better one. They don't have the sound effects system that RFC had. And they don't like my time slot. But aside from those two things, and I don't like FM, I mean not AM, but you know what? Show's on the air. It's soon going to be webcast. It's going to get around. It's definitely going to get around. And And the option for going back to Radio Free Cambridge, if we can ever get it shit together, is there. And I think it will get it shit together. I really do. But in the meantime, I'm doing what I have to do to stay on the air. And that makes me feel good. I was making Senecal tapes today too, so it doesn't end. I work on this shit 7 days a week. When I have a day off, I'm generally not happy about it, so. Walking down Canal Street now, I've been walking down for a while, I forgot to mention it. I don't have a jacket on, I'm hoping it doesn't become a problem. But I'll do my best I can. Right now my goal is to get to the station. Right now my goal is to get to the fucking tea. And hope it doesn't screw me too badly. Supervisor, we're going to get along pretty well, and I want to continue to help as I can. My time is limited. I can come to a meeting once in a while and a little bit extra once in a while, but basically showing up Sunday at 5 with material and enthusiasm is the best possible thing I can offer. Everything else is irrelevant. I'm talking about playing fish on the air. I'm talking about Burning Man. Reading psychedelic literature. That's what I need to be doing. Music, news, art, and literature. I'm hoping to do all four of those today. That's always been my format. It's a good format, I think. So anyway, I definitely feel ready to roll with it. Let me get to it. Got a 120-minute tape, which is good. Especially since the machinery they have there, the tape deck, and the recording, and it hits the end of side one, it flips to side two. So, it's good. I'm not going to be doing the show next week because I'm going to be in Chicago. But I'm thinking that what I should do is bring this machine, bring my camera, turn it into a working weekend. My hair is washed, my clothes are clean, I did my laundry today. I even did extra laundry because I've been hoarding quarters. And I washed my towels, and I washed them. Pants that need mending, and if they are mended, I'll go from having 2 pairs of pants to my name to 4, and a couple that are a little damaged, but I wear anyway. I'm trying to go in the right direction. I'm doing everything I can to go in the right direction. I even asked Hans at work if there had been any problems lately, if there had been any problems I'd missed in my quality checking, and he said no. Well, there'd been one, but it's been quite a while since Morosa came to me with anything I'd missed, so even if I miss one, my overall reputation is I don't miss many. So I'm trying to hold it together. Within the work is a an emotional state. It's pretty fragile. And it comes out in my writing in some ways. I can't write fiction right now very well. I'm not at ease with it because I haven't figured out how to integrate fiction and my fragile emotional state. When I allow my emotions to come to the head, I can't write. And I can't write if I don't tap into my emotions, because they're an integral part of the work. I think this trip to Chicago is on my mind a lot, and so this week is going to be, to a certain degree, a hard one, but I'm also going to be working during it. I'm going to show up every fucking day at work and do their fucking thing. And I'm going to get the bus down to Hartford Thursday night. And I'm going to get on the plane, and I'm not sure what I'm going toward, but tomorrow I'm going to reserve a hostel room. I don't see anybody, I don't see anybody. I mean, that's the way it is. Something we dealt with. I want to go to the museum. I mean, I'm just going to do things. I'm going to take advantage of being there. I'm going to take advantage of it in every way I know how. I should even bring Scripture Press books. I should, really. That's not a bad idea. I'll bring them and I'll distribute them. Legs moving. That's the bottom line. Keep the old legs moving. Almost to the T. More later. Monday, June 5th, 2000. It's 7:20 a.m. Along the road behind Boston Gas, whose name I always forget. Oh, wait, this is Charles Street. That's right. Charles Street, Malden, Mass. Sam Fritz from Insight called. Says she's working on something for me. I'm trying not to get my hopes up, but I know I will. Money, location, nature of job, length of assignment. Those are the four things. And then I got a call from Nick Winnikin, who tells me that something to foot with Radio Free Cambridge again. Oh, and then there was a call from Charette saying that the Hartford Wolf Pack of the American Hockey League won their cup, Calder Cup, I think it's called. He was very excited. My printer at home is for some reason acting up, which sucks. There seems to be something, a step backward, when there's any kind of steps forward. And I didn't get out the door till 7, which means that this whole thing is going to be tight. Beginning to work, that is. that Seneca is to mail to Ralph Emerson and to Neil Cohen. Oh, fuck, I don't have bags of tape. Damn. Well, I guess they won't be mailing them because they don't have the sandwich bags necessary to do that, to make the tape holders. And I know that the magazines don't have them already. Well, that sucks. That's a result of being tired and strung out. What the hell, I'll bring them to my work and there they'll sit. This need and this desire, strong desire, to send out as many Seneca as possible. I mean, there's no point in them sitting around my house. So, anyway, wait. Oh, God, there goes my train. Commercial streets. Stepping up my door is a fucking risk. I mean, I guess there's risks inside one's home, like falling down and getting hurt. But I think there are more risks in stepping out into the day and being subject to the bullshit. Well, you can ignore the door. Unplug the phone, turn off the computer, and nobody can get you. If you're that speed, and nothing's on fire. Out in the world, it's like a mean fucking surf. Just a mean fucking surf. That's kind of a bad attitude. But it's true. Ants. I don't want to stop this. May start it again, but I'm going to stop it.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q.
sound to Earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
June 9th, 2000. I think it's about 7:50 a.m. On board Southwest Airlines flight from Hartford, Connecticut to Chicago, Illinois. Never recorded being up in a plane 30,000 feet high. Or whatever ridiculous number it is. I've never really recorded except for my trip to Las Vegas. I've never really recorded a trip at all. So I'm in the very tiny bathroom of this plane. Thank you.
recognizes their friendliness and their tries to differentiate themselves from other airlines, but I don't find them any friendlier than any others, frankly. No better, no worse. Never attempted because it's intimidating, even to some people who have done it many times. It's now late afternoon. June 9th, 2000. I'm at the Arlington House Youth Hostel, 616 West Arlington Place, Chicago, Illinois. The plane arrived in good time. It arrived early. I got off without having suffered too much on the plane. Years ago when I flew, sometimes I would get headaches. So I've taken the precaution since of taking Tylenol before getting on a plane and while the plane is still up there at its highest altitude when it starts to descend. I also chew gum, but I don't know what good that does. But no headaches, and my ears were not as clogged as they used to be. So, no complaints about the flight. I got off the plane, and I found the direction to walk for the train, the L. Chicago Transit Authority. At one point, there was this long stretch, long corridor, and this guy in a golf cart, who I guess his job is to carry people from near where the plane is to the rental cars, the trains, the parking lot. Well, I was on his golf cart for a stretch. That was cool. And when I got to where the train is, I bought a 3-day visitor's pass, transportation pass, so that's completely set. $12. They charge $1.80 here for a train ride, which is ridiculous. I can't imagine anybody rides the train regularly, doesn't have a monthly pass. And $12 is fine. That'll cover, that's like 6-7 rides. So, I got on the train, Orange Line, and I took it to downtown Chicago, which looks the same. I mean, I'm sure it's changed in a million little ways, but in general, it looks the same. Called up Arlington House, got directions, got confused, but I ended up only going one stop past the right stop. Doubled back, checked in, hasn't changed at all. It's the same place it's always been. I don't think they probably change anything in a while. Anyway, I went into Land's End for about, I think it was 10 minutes, no, 20 minutes. I spent $5 and went in there for 20 minutes. And I saw some people from Chicago, and I told them I was here, and I was all excited. And then I went off to get stuff I didn't have with me, shampoo and soap and toothpaste and that kind of stuff, and very, very, very hot. Ended up in this little general grocery store run by this Indian guy named Sam, who had these ridiculous prices, and I was about to walk out, and he convinced me to stay, and he said he'd give me a deal, and he talked about how he would help people out, and he would charge the yuppies exorbitant prices, but if someone didn't have money, he would charge them much less. And he railed against the government. He seemed genuine. Seemed cool. Seemed all right. So I bought my stuff. And I came back, and I got a can of soda. I called this girl, Brooke, who lives out here, who's in the Land's End chat room, who I hope to meet. I don't expect to, but I hope it might happen. I just left her a message at her cell phone number. What else? And then I came into my room, which is small. It has three bunk beds. Each bunk bed has two beds, a lower and an upper. Mine is number eight. One, two, five, six. And I was going to shower up and take off, but I laid down, and lying down felt really good. I only got about 3 hours sleep last night, and I haven't been sleeping all that much lately, so I decided that sleep. I slept long and hard. Occasionally I would get up. Once in a while someone would come in the room. But I slept a bunch of hours. I slept the afternoon away. It was delicious. It wasn't being out in the city doing this and that, but it was delicious. I hadn't slept like that in a while. And the city stays open most of the night, so I don't want to be weakening because they didn't do what they needed to do on this end of the day. I'm not a daytime person at all. It's still daylight. I'm not functioning yet. I'm getting better because the sun's going down. It's getting cooler, but I'm nocturnal all the way, Daddy. Daddy-o. So I want to be awake when the sun goes down, basically. That's what I was concerned about. And I slept. I slept long and hard, and it was good. I didn't dream much, I don't think. A little bit, but not much. I think I dreamed a little bit about Land's End, but I'm not sure. The place is strange. But this place is real. Chicago's real. Land's End is kind of made up in a certain way. Chicago is real. So now I've just washed my hair and showered and brushed my teeth and everything. Shower's water is absolutely frigid, but I got through it. Sam sold me tiny little hand towels in lieu of a real bath towel, but they worked. I'm clean. Roll with the punches. Keep your legs moving. And I just took a picture of the door, which has a sign on it that says, "No dope smoking, you go to jail in USA." Fine. So now I'm thinking, I want to get going. I've got to figure out what to bring. I think I'll bring this recorder and my camera, some notebooks. I'm not really sure exactly what to bring, but I want it all to fit in my book bag. Tonight, there's in town a thing called the Chicago Blues Festival, and Karma, the girl at Land's End, whose name, real name is Brooke, she said, go to it. So, I think I'm at least going to get the newspaper and see what it's about. The poetry readings I want to go to, I think, are later in the evening, so I think there might be some wiggle room there. I don't know. And I should call that Leonard dude, and I should call Jeff Arndt, Zweezel in Land's End. I was so ecstatic arriving. I mean, I was just, nothing went wrong. And I'm here, and that's good. I haven't actually done anything here yet, aside from my adventure in the grocery store. I haven't really, mostly it was about arriving and settling, and now I'm settled, and it's late afternoon, and it's time to get it going. But I was so excited arriving and just happy, amazing in a way, but true. I'm thinking I'm going to get a newspaper, and then I'm going to go to Demon Dogs, which is a place I don't even know. It's just pure sentiment. I went there. Excuse me. I went there when I was here 5 years ago. It's basically a hot dog place, hot dog stand, more or less. Demon Dogs is owned and managed by the manager of the band Chicago, pop group, rock group, mostly from the 70s and somewhat the 80s. But I saw it's still open, and I saw from a distance within that they had Chicago stuff still up on the walls, and it looked like it hadn't changed in 5 years. So I seem to remember they have good shakes and hot dogs and all, and they do hot dogs peculiarly here. They have peppers and hot kinds of things out that they put on it, so that'll be fun. And I'll look at the paper there and try to plan out the night to a certain degree. I remember when I was here last that I felt lonely at times. I felt desolate. It was hard. I wrote poetry, and I started writing poetry this time too. So I think that this is a shorter trip. I think that I need to try to be open to talking to people and being friendly. This isn't Boston. People are friendlier. It's just the way it is. And that's good. It's wonderful once I adjust to it. So, I'm not who I was 5 years ago. I'm better. I'm better than I was 5 years ago. I was 31. I was working at Quantum Books. a lot of the things that have come to pass now hadn't yet then. I've worked out a lot of shit in the course of that time. So, I'm in a better space now than I was 5 years ago. And I have to remember that. Act from better motivation. I was friendly to this girl on the plane. I didn't talk to her too much, but I talked to her more than I might have talked to someone in Boston who was sitting next to me in a train or whatever, bus. I talked to this other guy on the plane too, and complete friendliness. No rancor, no suspicion. Chill. Chill. Be friendly. Patience, kindness, hard work. So I'm working on all of that. And I think that patience and kindness toward myself is, it's as important as toward others. In some ways, it's more important. But it's at least as important. So, anyway, good, it was, good, and, I'm gonna record the poetry reading tonight, some of it anyway, might put it in the cenacle in some way. I'm already thinking of this whole thing as going in the cenacle in some way, thinking that I'd just like to record highlights of this trip and put them in the cenacle. I mean, why not? I've caught the cenacle up, and it's in better shape than it's been in a while. And I'm thinking toward the June meeting, and I'm thinking photos, highlights tape, writing, poetry. So, anyway, so that's the hard work part of the equation. Patience, I guess the patience is mostly toward myself, but it's also toward others. Patience, and maybe embedded in patience, is no expectations, just enjoyment of whatever is offered without expecting more. That's been a hard lesson for me to learn. I think I've learned it. Or I think that I'm learning it. And using it, living it, living patience, trying to live patience. Kindness. Kindness means risk. It means coming out of my shell. Trust. I think embedded in kindness is trust. That that there's goodness and decency in the world, and that there's more going on than meets the eye, and that if one acknowledges and lives the greater picture, not all of which is visible to the eye, things respond accordingly. And hard work is obvious. And I never can do enough of it. And I want to do more of it. And I've been doing more of it. And that's good. Because as I work, I feel better. I took 2 photos in this room. I felt better. I'd been sleeping. I'd been washing up. But now I was working again. And speaking these words makes me feel better. So, anyway, I guess that's all for now. going to let me take my leave of this for now, and but I'm going to bring this machine along, so I think it'll definitely participate in the night. And the more I think about it, the more I think that if I can do it, then the Cynical in June will have a Chicago tape, Chicago trip highlights, and I'll resume the cassettes with Jellicle Yield highlights in the summer. But I think that this is important. I think this is what needs to happen. And it also is helping me to focus my trip. It's not telling me exactly what to do, but it's telling me, it's giving me an approach. Patience, kindness, hard work. Patience, kindness, hard work. Patience, kindness, hard work. More later.
36 with Commander Q.
36 Jesuífi Commander Q.
36 Commander Q.
Commander Q.
And spirit and
Alright, so a little time has passed, and I've been essentially sorting through my stuff, preparing to go out. And, trying to think of things, what to bring, and all that. Which is cool. And I'm thinking subversive thoughts about what to bring.
thinking about wearing my Burning Man hat the whole way. In fact, I'm getting up now. Going over to the mirror. Put on my Burning Man hat. Looks freaky, dude. Looks totally freaky. But that's one thing. Oops. Messed with the fan. Don't mess with the fan. So anyway, that's one thing. Funny, the whole thing, everything is funny. Trying to figure out what to bring, what it can not bring. Because I've got to think about today and then I've got to think about tomorrow. Essentially, I guess it comes down to I brought the last two Cenacles, one copy of each, and I guess I'm going to give them to Leonard. He saw the early ones. I don't know if he'd appreciate these. I don't know if he'd read them. Don't know anything like that. But, thinking that that would be good. Funny to wear my hat, man. It'd be totally a fucking hoot. I'm definitely thinking about it. So anyway, that added. More later. June 9th, 2000, 8:33 p.m. Walking along North Broadway in Chicago, Illinois. It's passing 4829 Broadway. A Dong restaurant. Near the corner of North Broadway and West Lawrence. I went to Coffee Chicago. I showed up a few minutes after 8. The trains weren't very helpful, and I didn't really budget enough time. I walked in. It was a Starbucks-looking place. No fountain soda. Very kind of shiny and metal and plastic, whatever. Usual freaky bunch, all sitting at separate tables, each huddled over a notebook. No. Sorry. I walked out. I'm bound, except I'm walking back toward the downtown. I'm chewing gum from the last two pieces from what I bought for my flight. So I parted. Let me put it to you this way. I've been reading the Dune books lately, and I've parted with my own vision of the future right now. Tonight, for as long as I was thinking about it, was going to be about reading poetry. But now it's not. This trip is going to be about meeting Lauren and Rebecca. It's not. So now I don't know what it's about. I don't know where I'm headed. I don't know. I don't know what it's about. I'm standing in front of the Uptown Broadway building, a certified historic landmark, which is about 4700 North Broadway. Decorations are the same. Kind of funny in a certain way. It's very facade-y. It's not really very fancy at all. In any kind of cool way. Now I've stopped. Stopped, and I don't know what to do now. I suppose I should keep walking. That was scary. First time I came here, I was pretty innocent of travel. I've been down to the Wizard of Oz conventions in 85 and 86, but that was really. Oh, and I've been to North Carolina. That trip across country was something else. thinking I should catch the train downtown.
Mental masturbation. That's like when you, you know, like, think about a chick while you're, you know, getting the job done.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think about that all the time. In fact, I'm thinking about it right now.
I don't want to hear about it. Actually, I'm thinking about it, too. We need a chick.
Yeah, yeah. We need a chick who's cool.
Yeah. A chick who doesn't suck. No, wait a minute. That's not what I meant. We need a chick that's got tattoos on her butt.
Yeah, yeah. We need one of those chicks.
Yeah. And, like, a chick who's, like, you know, been around the block.
Yeah, yeah. Like, a chick who's older, who's, like, done it a lot of times.
Yeah. We need a chick that used to be married to some dork, and so now, like, she's all wild and stuff.
The fuck?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like it needs to be louder. Loud, loud.
Is this like wuss music? This sounds like Nelson.
Married to that Bono dude?
Bono, Sonny Bono.
Is that that dude that's like a cop in San Diego?
No, yeah. No, he was a mayor of Palm Springs.
He's a wuss.
Yeah, well, kinda, yeah.
So, like, sheriff. I heard you're like, you know, into young dudes.
Yeah, well, you feeling lucky, butthead? You know, all you gotta do is just, lose.
Hey, Beavis, get out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Butthead has left the building.
No, he hasn't. He's in the toilet. He's in the toilet. Ladies and gentlemen, Butthead is in the toilet. Yeah. No, cool.